Well, hey, Gundamaniacs, welcome to the Gundam Explained Show Live. I'm your host, Adam Blue, and joining me, as always, Steven Midnight Hatter. What's up, man?
How you doing? Yeah, we're live on time tonight. I think we were like 10 or 15 minutes late last night, so
yeah.
We're making up for it by being punctual for your show.
Which, you know, how is it anyone is ever exactly on time by the second to everything they're supposed to be? You can give or take that. Although I got to admit, when there's some jobs I've had in the past where it was like 15 minutes early, you had to be. That's kind of like what they expected.
Well, and isn't it funny how it's like, you know, when you go to the doctor's office, they're like, make sure to show up 15 to 20 minutes early for your appointment so that you can sit in the waiting room 30 minutes past your appointment. Like, what's the point of having an appointment?
I know. Well, at least we've got an appointment for tonight, right? And that's to talk Gundam. Sir. Yeah, I know. That was good, wasn't it? No. But it was cool. Yesterday on your show, we had Pixelli, YouTuber, and Gundam World Cup winner, which is pretty cool because it was like that cool cross-section of like retro gaming and Gundam and Gunpla and all that. A pretty cool conversation.
Yeah, she blew my mind with some of the deep cuts she had on like particular video games where it was like, oh, well, did you know that this video game designer was actually responsible for this? And it was like, you know, no, never made those connections. So
no, and that's what's cool. Like, you know, even for someone like me, I'm so into, you know, 80s and 90s games, the bits, you know, even the NES, but like as you get into 16-bit and stuff and like, I know all that obscure stuff, so it's really cool to hear someone else talk about that. But yes, at the same time, with like Gundam,
yeah,
and Gunpla and all that. So, So later on in the show today, we're going to talk a little bit about that announcement of G-Quacks being released in theaters here. And it's funny because when I saw the article, I was doing research and saw that announcement, someone made it on Reddit like 5 days ago, and I had no idea. That's pretty cool that they've made it official. We'll talk about that. And Hathaway 2 news. So
finally,
that'll be interesting.
Well, and not to throw another thing into the mix though, did you see there was news on the Gundam card game release dates for the starter sets? If you go to Gundam-GCG.com, they've got release dates for the 4 starter sets. And then the first actual like booster pack, which I think it's like Rise of the New Type, something like that, New Type Arrival. So
I like the name of that. Okay, let's see.
And so for the structure decks, they have, you know, regular editions, and then they have a special edition, and those are the ones that come with the Gundam Assemble figures. So very cool stuff. A lot of great Gundam news this week.
Wow, very cool. You know what? Hey, I randomly this is background information. I heard a USB sound made, and you know, I'm trying to troubleshoot. So if something comes up, let me know, like audio, you know, not, you know, seeking. So, you know, just, yeah. Cause trying to troubleshoot here and every show, there's something. Anyway, so wait, so you're saying that when they release it, there's an edition that comes with the minifigures.
Yeah, so the I guess they're like structure decks, right? So you've got Zeon's Rush, you've got Wings of Chain. Well, I don't know what the wing one is, and then there's like a seed one, and then like the Heroic Beginnings, and so those ones come with 3 Gundam Assemble figures that you assemble.
Okay,
seems kind of redundant to say.
Yeah, I missed this news. I'm glad you found out about that, because that's something I'm anticipating quite a bit, just because it is pretty a newer cool thing, I think, for all of us to kind of get into and talk about.
Yeah.
You know, other than like a video game or just some Gunpla, it's like it could be a game. It could just be us, you know,
painting. And they do have all of the first wave of the Gundam card game card with the card art and the effects and everything are on that website. And people are already starting. I think it's like Gundam.dev. is a fan made like deck builder for the Gundam card game. So if that's not indicative of just how excited people are about this product.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. That is really cool. So yeah, good to hear news on that. I am down for some of that. and for like painting. And, you know, actually it's funny. I'll get into this because I like to, you know, being in the show, just talk about whatever. I was working on the Zuda high grade, like I think it was like a week ago. I was streaming it, and there's this, you know, part on it that has like this orangey plastic, you know, and I wanted to give it a metallic look. So while I was streaming, and I think it was Taco and Yoshi or someone else was bringing up, you know, going to Ray Studios to buy their markers. I was like, wait, good idea. So I went and I actually picked up two of these metallic. It's like for thrusters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You can kind of see the colors at the top. A lot of like grays and silvers. Now, it did have what looked like a bronze, and I used that on the Sturmfaust of the Zuda on the tip, the grenade part. And that's like, that looks great. It's not the color that it's, you know, supposed to be, more like this. So I went and then ordered an orange metallic marker from somewhere else. But just the point is, painting this was fun and easy to do with the marker. It's very similar to a Gunna marker. And just looking at the finish, the texture on it, I'm like, wow, this, I mean, it really settles good. So I think I'm going to, really work on using these different metallic sort of marker parts for, like when I do thrusters from now on. Because you were you shared that video on Instagram with me. We were talking last week. I forget who it was, but they were showing them do the thrusters and like the gradients of paint.
Oh, yeah. I think it was probably either Life in Plastic Model Kits, or sometimes Gunpla Luke does some fantastic vernier customizations. So,
yeah. And just seeing that, I was like, man, you know, I feel like that's another thing I can learn to do. So I think with these mix of cool, like, metallic and thruster parts, I think I'm going to try to do that. Have like this like set way that I do all the thrusters, you know.
Now, when you opened the marker pack, did it do the whole like, like all of the Ray Studios videos?
I see what you're saying. No, it none of that. In fact, actually, I'll actually open it. I think this is like super high quality.
They are. I mean, I know I'm a big, you know, crap talker, but like, you know, Ray Studio products, like they are high quality products. I always make fun of the, what would you even call that? So it's like, you know, you used to have like infomercials, right? Which was like a, you know, they would try to teach you something while selling you a product. I guess, is it like an edumercial or like an edutisement, something like
that? You know, that's a good point, because it's so natural and organic. It is. It's hard to like, wait a minute. You know, what's going on?
I feel like I'm being sold something.
That's a good point. Well, I will say, though, that I feel like for the price, this is pretty good. I actually, more than just pretty good, I think the price is pretty amazing, and utilizing it's awesome. It's like, I'm so happy to know that I have all this metallic stuff now, because that stuff usually goes fast, when I'm painting. So,
And those are great to have on hand, like in the middle of building like a master grade or something, because then you can, like, as you're assembling it, touch up like the internals and things like that. And that I know how much you love a real grade. Idea.
I feel like I think about that all the time, and I never actually do it, where I'll be like, okay, this has some internal aspects to it. Maybe this time I should kind of paint it or something, but I just don't. But yeah, I think now I am, now that I have this stuff. And, you know, actually another main reason I got this, really, now that I'm remembering, is because I ordered that Mechagodzilla Kiryu FS3. It's, you know, like a mecha.
Yeah.
And I got the spray paint, the type of gunmetal it's supposed to be on it. And this is because the idea is, and please stop me if this is bad, from what I see, is you spray the paint on the runners, then you cut the pieces out, and as you're then, you know, fixing them, you use the marker to fix the spots that were cut.
Oh, you know, honestly, I'm probably the wrong person to ask on that, because I actually did exactly what you're saying on the Hiyakushiki, the high grade Hiyakushiki. Sprayed it while it was on the runner, and it is undergated, so it's like, even like cutting it, you know, you didn't damage the paint on it too much, because it had the metallic finish to begin with. So it was undergated. And then after it was done, I went back and had little enamel gold that I just hand brushed on over the nub marks, of which there were like three total.
Okay.
And but I'll be honest with you, I want to go back. And the reason I even took it out, so this kit was actually in storage. I want to remove the seam lines on it. So I'm probably going to ruin the paint job on it in order to remove the seam lines and then repaint it assembled. That way it has a much cleaner look, because it does have, like, you know, the unseemly.
That's really cool. I'd like to see that. So are you going to try to go for a different shade of gold, or is that the style of gold, or is that the gold you like?
That's definitely the gold I like. Cool. But, you know.
Oh, that's cool. I can't wait to see something like that. I think that is kind of a, I feel like when it comes to my level of Gunpla mastery, I think everyone has, is awesome in their own way, but there's always technique that people can improve on. And I think for me, it's nub marks, but sometimes I get them fine. And then sometimes I'm just kind of lazy there or didn't really think about it. But then is the seam lines. That seems like a neat endeavor to get into with the, you know, the glue, the type of glue that you use, and then having a sand and all that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I've been having a lot of fun with the seam line removal. Like, a little bit of a spoiler, but this is, you know, one of those bootleg AliExpress Zaku origin types. And, man, let me tell you, removing the seam lines on these is 1,000 times easier than removing them on a Bandai kit. And that's going in my review that I'm filming for this product. But yeah, it's...
That's cool. Yeah, that definitely needs to be the next step, I think. You know, because sometimes I think about what is it I like to get out of a kit. And for me, what it really actually boils down to is having the action figure. Yeah. That's why usually I'll just buy the action figure of a Gundam, but if there's only a kit version, I'll get the kit like the Hazenthly.
Right. It was
only a kit. Now there's a Metal Robot Spirits and I need to grab it. That's just the pricey. But I think, yeah, the ultimate end goal for my Gunpla journey, like as a builder, is to be able to then make them into pretty much action figures where I know where I can strengthen joints maybe, or reinforce joints. Reinforce how maybe a piece that's part of a joint system, you know, is, so it doesn't fall off. You know, that happens a lot. Yeah. And I think the dream one would be the real grade full armor unicorn.
Right. Bring it back to the beginning.
Yeah. There's so much little parts that just come off, and like if I could make it just stay together and then I can fly it around my room and not worry about it falling apart, then, you know, that's the goal, I think.
Yeah.
What about you? Do you have like a current goal for like technique when you've been building lately?
I mean, my ongoing mission, I would say, is to come up with much more turnkey solutions when it comes to LEDs. Like, obviously, Pencil Knights over on YouTube, he is fantastic, does these amazing LED jobs. And you know, I've learned a lot from following him. But a lot of the difficulty is always trying to find ways to, you know, you've got to cut a hole here, you've got to drill something there. One of the things that I've been working on here with some of these like prototypes that I'm doing for the Origin Zakus is finding ways to utilize the nooks and crannies and holes that are already in place, so that, you know, when I send something like this out to somebody, they can just pop it right in their Zaku 2 and it's good to go.
You know, it's cool because it's almost like it's still a customizing thing, but it's almost like a customizing kit, you know, where it's like when you're a kid and you order, I don't know, those things to build, and usually it's most of it's built for you and you're just kind of understanding that. But then as you grow in whatever hobby, you kind of get way more into it. So this could get people into LEDs in general.
Yeah, that's my hope, is because I think that, and maybe this is my biased opinion, but I feel like most Gunpla builders, most people that are in the hobby, have reached what I would consider like critical mass. Like, the best painters are already the best painters. You know what I mean? Like, you really can't push the boundary on how well you can airbrush. It's just like, A, can you afford an airbrush? B, have you learned how to use it properly? And C, you know, where's your kit that proves that? But things like LEDs, moving parts, I feel like that is largely unexplored territory, especially for English-speaking Gunpla fans. And so I really, you know, like I said, I want to push people in that direction of, like, really get outside your comfort zone and try new things. And
yeah, it's totally fun when it clicks, you know, the moment, you know, something new clicks.
Heck yeah.
So I'm trying to think if there's anything else Gundam related. You know, I think it's 2B, got After War, Gundam After War, right?
Yeah.
Gundam X?
Gundam X, After War, Gundam X, something like that.
Yeah. And so that just reminded me, oh, I have it on my server. And so I went back. Luckily, it saved, you know, I'm on episode 31 and finished it. And I need to make a video about the series. I've just been meaning to finish it. But I got to say, it's interesting how it's never talked about.
I know. Isn't it sad?
But it's like the most Star Trek Next Generation of Gundam, because it's like it has this tone and it sticks with it, you know?
Yeah.
And and what happens is the things aren't like crazy, so that the character moments, that they're not too big, but since there's not a lot of craziness happening and melodramatic craziness, it makes each moment still impactful, because it's not in contrast to like some crazy, like, you know, you think someone died and then they came back or so, you know, like, even though, you know, stuff like that happens in that show.
Yeah.
I think the main issue with it is that it is a slower show, but it's because it's going into the characters.
And you know what? Nobody ever complains about Garrett Rann as a protagonist. Like,
yeah,
people always say how much, you know, Camille is whiny, Benazir is kind of flat, Amuro is this, Judo is that. No one ever complains about Garrett Rann, and I think that's the problem, is that he didn't trigger enough people for the show to become interesting.
yeah, that could be it, because to me he seems like the ultimate version of a 90s anime character that is the opposite of the hero Yui, where it's like,
yeah,
completely, you know, emo, I guess you could say, from that time period. That's kind of maybe what it was reflecting. Whereas Garrett has more of that, the 90s skater vibe going on.
Yeah. With him. But much more serious than like Judo. Like,
yeah,
it's like, mm-hmm. he's like almost Judo level of, aloof, but not quite there.
Right. Exactly. No, it's really good. And I recommend people to watch it since it's on Tubi, right. You know, I need to do a video, and I'm trying to think of the structure of how I would do a video review, because if I'm reviewing something that's nearly 40 episodes, like, it's almost like the way that I would then approach, you know, what I like about Gundam, probably break down the general story and setting and the badass mobile suits that are in it, and then, you know, picking out what's cool about some characters and like compare them to more popular Gundam stuff.
I think that's what you should do, is develop that criteria of, like, you know, story, characters, mecha design, setting, and then discuss those four things for, you know, I would say even go back and do it for 0079 and Zeta and all the series that you have watched. And then that way you have like you can even start a tier list where it's like, all right, we know that Zeta Gundam is S tier and everything else is B or below, but at least you have a grounding point.
No. Yeah. You see, that's the thing. I want to make the ultimate tier list video once every, you know, watched everything, you know, cause yeah, there's just, cause there's even the stuff that no one ever talks about, like age Gundam age.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, I really want to watch that. No one's, and it's interesting, cause I wonder if one of these, that Reconquista and G, and I don't know what else, maybe I'm not thinking of that. What if it's like secretly awesome? Because I've realized there's so many things that I like in Gundam that some people don't care about.
I think you've touched on this when you were talking about like that Godzilla PS4 game, where what happens is, if you ask people to put together a Gundam tier list and then you ask them which series they've actually watched, typically they've formulated opinions on things like G-Reco and Age and Gundam X without having seen them. They just kind of defer to the internet as their source of authoritative judgment on those things. And so, you know, you're going to get the same answers, but it's not because they're necessarily true.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. I tell you, like, being at the age that I am, how long I've used the internet, and have now been getting really into anime and all those shows. I brought this up in another video. Like, a lot of the stuff I've seen online before I've watched any of the shows were wrong. It was like, it made me think, wow, people aren't really necessarily really watching them all. And that's why I bring up After War again on Tubi. Like, perfect way to go and watch it. Because a lot of times it's hard for people to find these shows to watch. And then the length, how long it takes to finish them.
And we always say it. It's like, you know, the number one and two question that we always get from people, like, as intro to Gundam fans, is what series should I start with and where can I stream it? And so, yeah. And the best part about Gundam X is that you don't need to have watched, you know, 3 years of Gundam anime. You can jump right in and watch it. It's right there and it's available to stream for free. So, you know what? You might as well start with Gundam X.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually an interesting way to look at it. Yeah. But okay, so I'm thinking, yeah, along, you know, watching, you know, Gundam X, I haven't watched another episode of Evangelion yet, because I tell you, I really like the taking my time with shows.
Yeah.
I mean, even afterwards, making me think back to things, be like, oh, what could be happening? What, you know? But I've also been going back watching the 90s Godzillas again. Because, you know, I did late last year, and now that I got the 4Ks, I ripped them all to my server, and then I'm watching the discs when I can. And again, I brought it up. The AI upscaling is interesting. I like it. Honestly, at first I was turned off, but I like it now. And again, like, the special effects for those that time, like, sometimes things were edited in a corny way, but special effects. I mean, even the 1991 Godzilla versus King Ghidorah, it's a crazy story, because, like, it's aliens from the future don't like Japan, so they're trying to destroy its future. They're trying to destroy its future, and they do it by, like, I guess they're able to stop Godzilla, but then they went back in time to kill him. But then when they went back in present, King Ghidorah's attacking. So they're like, okay, then we need Godzilla. So they just nuked his dead corpse of when he would have been dead back in the 50s and became a super Godzilla, pretty much, like a bigger one. And then he kills King Ghidorah. But then Godzilla's now terrorizing everywhere. So they go into the future. So they have the technology to turn King Ghidorah into a mecha King Ghidorah to go back and then fight. It's like such, I feel like I had to explain that, because it's so crazy that they decided to make that story into a movie.
But you know what's fascinating is, we talk about this a lot, is, you know, the essence of storytelling and how to reach certain conclusions. But what you just described is essentially a perfect plot, because it's everything is X causes Y causes Z. There's nothing arbitrary about what's happening. It's like, no, we need to go back in time to stop Godzilla, but we also need Godzilla. So then ipso facto, we created a super Godzilla that now we need to go back and stop using it. I love
that you kind of explained the technique, you know.
It's the classic Trey Parker, Matt Stone storytelling circle, something like that. I don't know.
Oh, okay. No, but that's cool, though. I keep forgetting that. I tell you, Steven, since we've been doing these shows, like, I always pick up on your literary, and I think you said you went to school, you studied stuff like that. So
yeah.
I think, when you bring these concepts up to me, I'm able to, like, use them as something in my mind and then bring back up later. I always think about this with my stories. But yeah. Anyway, so I think that's it with what I've been. I'm trying to think if there's anything else going on, but no.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, a lot. So I wanted to bring up for that giveaway that Zaku 2. So if you guys haven't yet, the review of the Zaku 2 Gundam Universe, just comment on it. And if you're subscribed, you're entered to win the extra one I got. So this Saturday, when I do my live stream, when I build, I will announce the winner. So stay tuned for that.
Awesome.
And then, that video went up, yesterday of the Mobile Suit Ensemble Mighty Strike Freedom. So if you're interested in how it looks, like how to detail it and everything, be sure to check that out. Okay, so here, this is pretty cool. I want to say thank you to Classic Quarter Gameplays for that $15 donation. That's super awesome. Super awesome. Okay, so Adam, what Gundam or mech would fly from, what is it, fly FM Gunpla? I would love to fly Crossbone Gundam if I was in Earth Federation. My luck, I'll be a GM. Okay, so what, Adam, what Gundam or mech would you fly? Maybe saying from my Gunpla. And he's saying Crossbone Gundam, which is a good pick because that's actually pretty badass.
Yeah.
But he said with his luck, if he's Earth Federation, it will be a GM. Okay, so I see what you mean. The mass-produced one, you know, you won't always want to be the hero, but then you'll just be – well, okay, then I'll answer. And, Steven, maybe you'll have an answer too. So I think – like, because you said Crossbone, it made me think of that time period in F-91. Like, F-91 would be a badass one from my Gunpla to be.
You're just saying that to piss me off.
Oh, you know what? Maybe that's true. No, this is good content right here. Good content. I know you don't like. No. F-91. There's something about F-91 lately. Oh, I know what it was. Remember when Pixelli was talking about the perfect grade or 6/160 scale? I was looking it up while we were streaming, and that thing looks great because I like the F-91 and like that. So I see what she's talking about, like taking that style of kit, but then you can detail it and really make it look
so good. Yeah, I mean, this is something that I've noticed is that I love the proportions of 1:144 scale and 1:160 scale, or not 1:60 scale, but something about 1:100 scale, they're always a little too lean. They're not as like full, the designs, but yeah, I mean, shoot, even I like that, that F-91. So, I mean, that says something.
So yeah, exactly. But anyway, yeah, going back to Classic Quarter Gameplays. Yeah. What do you think? Yeah. What would you be using then? I guess, if I'm seeing his question correctly about what Gunpla you have that you would,
you know, I'd probably go with the Lightning Zeta Gundam.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's a good pick. Yeah. You don't hear many people saying that.
No, you know, it's I guess, and I think we talked about it with Zionic Shadow, where it's like the Lightning Zeta Gundam is one of like the best Zeta Gundam alternate designs.
And but like, also, how boring is it? My answer compared to yours, like with all of the suits that exist in all of Gundam, I picked one that's probably in the top 80 most recognized out of the thousands.
I don't know about that. I mean, that's. We'd have to see like what the maybe we put out a poll for that.
That's true, because you know what, there's like they push a lot of F-90 stuff, but like really not for F-91.
That's right. True. Yeah, man, how many letters of the alphabet have they put out for the packs that come out for the F-90?
I know. I know. Yeah. All right. Let's see. From Lucas Garrett here real quick, because it gave me the perfect Gundam from the Thunderbolt manga, the perfect fusion of Gundam and Zaku technology. Yeah, that's I love that concept. That's actually what I'm excited about, GQuax, which let's move on to that. So Classic Quarter Gameplays, again, thanks so much for that. That is so appreciated. Especially at this point where I've hit 10,000, I know talk about, I've mentioned it before, it's just like I feel like I have a job to do and I love it, you know, like anyway. But GQuax, so what's cool is I didn't know this, but I see this article come up of the movie's going to be released in North American theaters on the 28th through this distributor that's called and they've distributed anime before. So when I saw that, there you go. Yeah, thank you. Because I don't know, like, I was looking that up to see if I can maybe figure out where the what the theaters might be. But I did notice there was a Fandango URL. It's just it's not available when you go to it.
Right.
There's nothing there. So,
but it is something like 400 and some odd theaters that G Kids distributes
to. Okay. Because I'm wondering if it's going to be like the, like how it's being distributed. Is it through one of these event things they do, like at Cinemark, it's Fathom events or something? Exactly.
Probably something like that.
Okay. Because,
I don't know. I don't want to cut you off. You go first.
No, I was going to say, because I'm curious like how this is going to go, because like, for instance, My Hero Academia had a movie here, I think so, or a popular anime show had a movie that came out here, and they had stuff to buy in the concessions, little like goodies related to that anime. So like,
very cool.
I wonder how big of a push this is marketing wise, where would there be some of that cool stuff, you know, coming over here?
I mean, it'd be pretty sweet if they were handing out some Gundam card game starter kits. Just saying, like,
yes, but, yeah, just yeah, handing out a kit for going to see a Gundam movie. No, yeah. So it's cool because yeah. So February 28th, did I? That's what it was, right? I think I yeah, even February had it the 28th. Yeah, which isn't that the on a non leap year? That's the last day of February.
Yeah.
Is that how it works? Huh, very interesting. There must be something to that. There's a hidden message. We have to figure it out. It's the eight. You turn it around. It's a toroidal infinity. I don't know. I'm talking about zero point energy. That's not for this podcast. I think this is cool. I, for some reason, was thinking we were going to wait a while. The idea is there's the movie that came out already in Japan, and then it'll come out here. A little more than a month later.
Right. It's something like G-Quack's Beginnings.
Yeah. Okay. And that's what I was going to bring up too. So it's this thing that is like a, I guess, an intro movie. And then there's a TV show.
I thought it was like three episodes of an OVA, something
okay.
like that.
Okay. So it's a movie, but is that separate from the OVA? Or, okay. So
I don't know. The thing
we're not too sure about yet. Cause yeah. it could be either it's separate from the OVA.
I'm sure chat will correct us.
Yeah. Or yeah, the OVA comes out later and I guess it's an expanded version, because then the interesting thing is, okay, then what does that mean for, again, the English release version? There's a movie version of it. Are they going to full on do the OVA?
So what this is my hypothesis, speculating, okay. of course, is like, you know, this little intro movie Beginnings. If you watched some of the leaked footage, you saw that it is like kind of shot for shot a recreation of, you know, 0079, right? The first episode where Amuro gets in the Gundam, but things are a little different. And so what I think is that this initial movie is to set up the universe, to set up the alt UC timeline, so that the series is actually going to pick up with the new main character and like what her experience is doing and everything. Whereas like this intro movie, it's kind of like, remember when they did the Witch from Mercury prologue and like that kind of set the stage for.
Yeah.
And I remember when you and I first started watching Witch from Mercury, like starting at episode one, we were like, what the heck does this have to do with anything that happened in the prologue? None of the characters are here. And then it's like, oh, by the end of it, oh, there is something to do with the prologue.
Yeah. There we go.
So okay. I think that that's what's going on, is like this little intro movie is a teaser that kind of grounds you in the universe. And then the actual OVA is going to be about the new characters and, you know, the.
That's exciting. So it could be that's just a lot of content we're going to be getting, pretty much. And shout out to Robert saying the audio is cutting in and out. Thank you. I'm keeping an eye on the monitor thingy here. You didn't happen to hear anything, Stephen, did you?
No, you're sounding fine, but let me know if I need to.
You're good too. No. Okay. So this is cool. And I mean, this is something, look, it's not UC Gundam, but I would be more excited about it than Seed Freedom, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, just because it's adjacent UC, you know.
So that was something that came up, as you know, obviously people are talking about how well it was received. I think it was something like, I don't have the numbers on hand, but it was like 1 point something million release weekend, like box office numbers for that little preview. But I don't know enough about Gundam releases to know whether that's a truly a successful release or not. In, to put it in perspective, the Seed Freedom movie during its, you know, box office weekend did $7 million. So, you know, I don't know whether that says more about how people are kind of maybe reticent about ZGAX, or, you know, is it just that, you know.
Yeah, and I don't even know, something I don't even know would be like budgets of animation in Japan. They already talked about with Godzilla Minus One how that budget was so low, and they did, I mean, is... Are the concepts of budgets for these shows completely different than, and so what exactly. It makes too is a different meaning. And, you know, if I don't know, let's yeah. see. Oh yeah. Some, oh, Fulcrum from my, stream earlier today said he noticed something, but I could not find it, but yeah, sorry if there's some audio issue, the podcast version will go up. And on my end, at least the audio sounds good. So, okay. So it's cool that beginning of the year, we can already mark that we've got a Gundam show, and it's sort of UC related. Okay. So the other thing then is that I think something that just came out. I feel bad. I forgot who sent it to me or who posted it. It was about Hathaway.
Hathaway Deuce.
Yeah, so they announced that it would be out by the beginning of 26. So that's what's pretty cool.
And very interesting way to phrase it.
So yeah, it's what it could be, and you've always got to think these companies, you know, especially at this level, are going to make sure that they have product at certain times a year, you know, spread out, so they know that they're going to be making money. So it makes sense that there would be a product like this at the beginning of the year. Well, and even kind of beginning, it's like the first half, if you're getting the movie in different territories, and then the OVA, you know, and wherever that goes. And then by winter, we get Hathaway 2. I mean, I don't think there's been anything else announced media-wise.
No, there hasn't. But, you know, I think that obviously we've got G-Generation Eternal has its new closed beta test that's coming out again.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting that the release cadence this year is almost identical to last year. Obviously we had Seed Freedom in early part of the year, and then Requiem for Vengeance later in the year. So now we're getting not only G-Quacks, but, G-Quacks and then Hathaway. Closer to the end of the year. And then video game wise, obviously we got Gundam Breaker 4 last year. SDG Generation Eternal is what's coming out this year. So there's definitely a rhythm to the release dates on these.
Okay. Yeah. So good point. So it does kind of align. I wonder if that means there's room for something more. Although to be honest, that G-Gen Eternal seems like something that is a big deal, especially because this is mobile and it's supposed to be released globally.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's almost what everyone's been asking for. You know what I mean? It's just, we'll see if it turns out that way, you know, because everyone's been asking for those types of games, the generation games.
I love those games,
especially being mobile. But because, though, it's on a cell phone, does that mean that it's going to be built around the microtransaction mechanic in a way that we're going to hate, like a gotcha thing that's changed? Then it could change the game.
I hope that that's not the case, obviously. But I don't know. You know, clearly that was the way that they went with Gundam Breaker Mobile. So,
yeah, that's true. So, yeah, I guess. So, you know what? I do think there needs to be something more other than the G Generation Eternal game, getting G-Quacks and then getting.
But I mean, the card game and the tabletop game, those are pretty big.
Okay. I think you filled it in then. That would make sense with all the launches. So then does that, with these announcements, does that leave room for all the Gunpla that would be coming out? Because I'm sure there's going to be way more G-Quacks Gunpla.
Yeah, we've got to get at least a white Gundam and a red Gundam, right?
And then if Hathaway's coming out by the end of the year, then we would have, you know, whatever those are, if re-releases, or I don't know if there's going to be variants, who knows what direction they go.
So personally, what are you more excited about? Are you more excited about GQuax or Hathaway 2?
You know, that's a really good question. I would say Hathaway 2, just because the first Hathaway movie is, to me, more of just like a standard movie that I would watch.
Yeah.
And it just has mechs in it because it's a cool espionage terrorist plot. Like, it's just a cool straight up action movie. And so I came up with this concept. I wanted to tell you, I think I just gave away my answer, but it's like, out of all the Gundam series, which one has the best mobile suits in relation to the number of mobile suits they have as a whole in the series?
Ooh.
You know, and so, you know, I would think maybe the original Gundam or Zeta Gundam.
Yeah.
But then I thought, you know, it's Hathaway. Because what is there, like three mobile suits in the whole thing?
Well, it's like, what, maybe that or 0080.
Oh, that's a great one. Yes, that is a great one.
Yeah.
Great example, because you even have the GM Sniper. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that comes down, I guess, when they're dropping down or whatever. Yeah, that's a good one.
And isn't that really what we want? I don't know. Maybe I'm looking into it too much, but it's like, as far as like the live action Gundam movie goes, do we want something that plays out more like the anime, or do we want something that plays out more like a 0080 or more like Hathaway, where it's like there's an emphasis on the character interactions? And
so I think that's a good question, and I think the character interactions could still happen regardless. And I only think that because what I go back to, and I almost feel like this is cliche, but it makes sense, is Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
How great character interactions, even with the enemies, but they were showing the scale of war. And that's really what I want out of a Gundam live action movie. I've always imagined, and it's the way that Legend of Galactic Heroes does the animation for all the ships in space. It's the most badass thing.
Good.
I want to see live action Gundam with all of the ships, lines and lines of Zakus and lines of GMs, and in live action, even though it's CGI, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're just like battling it out. Like, I want to see it like that. And then you just have the, you know, almost like it's, another great example is Return of the Jedi, because they had a lot of battles that were always happening, and some of the coolest of the battles was the above Endor, the when they were fighting the Death Star 2.
Right.
And while that's happening, Luke, Darth Vader, and Emperor are having that final showdown that's really pivotal to who really wins.
Yeah, you know, which is so amazing, because it's like no one who's fighting the space battle knows that there's a more consequential battle happening on, like, in a small scale.
I know. I love that aspect. And I think Gundam does that, especially at the end with the Battle of Ba'oku, and then like how big those battles are. But then it's like Amuro and Char really trying to, you know, I love that aspect. So
there's the battle for the world, and then there's the battle for like the soul of humanity, and usually that's the more but I gotta shout out Ashen in chat here, because live action Gundam that works like Band of Brothers, that's the way to go, honestly.
Yeah.
And maybe that can't be done as a movie. Maybe it needs to be like a 6-7 episode miniseries. And maybe that's the decision that someone needs to make, where it's like, let's stop trying to go cinematic with it, and let's go direct to streaming services. You know, the same way that we did with Requiem for Vengeance, but just execute on it so much harder and do a much better job with it. And I think that you know, if you had 6-7 1-hour episodes of, you know, Mobile Suit Gundam 0079.
Dude, and you know what? What's really cool is there could be an aspect of anime that they bring over, and it's how the characters are kind of larger than life. You know, and that's kind of where it adds the drama, you know, anime, like how they did. What's the guy's name in Requiem for Vengeance that was also in 08th MS team?
Oh, Keller.
Keller.
Sorry, I always mispronounce it. Keller.
Yeah, but how how he's kind of a larger than life anime character.
Yeah.
And that almost translated over, not that they were able to make it work. And I feel like you can take those aspects of that in Japanese anime characters and make that the character. So in the live action, so each episode it's more interesting than like, oh, they're going to run into this person on this episode. So yeah, that could be like the main fun part, the backdrop being, okay, what's the mobile suit battles this episode, you know?
Exactly. There you go, man.
And I wonder though, okay, so here's an interesting thing. I feel like, you know, I like sci-fi movies. And oh, you know, let me grab this. Got another classic CQGP order gameplay yet again.
Thank you, sir.
$12. Wow, very nice. Okay. You know what would be a cool movie, Adam, if they did one with Amuro, but they had a rescue mission like Saving Private Ryan, trying to save Amuro from MS-18, rescuing Amuro Ray. That would be cool to see. So, which is a really good point, because what if the live action movie is maybe a segment of the series? You know, like they take maybe the one where Amuro's deserting, you know, and make it where it's like a driven character arc, because I guess the idea is it could be three movies. That's the rumor or IMDb. But if they were going to make a story, going like Saving Private Ryan, it would have to, what's an interesting character moment that they could use? And would it have to be something more interesting than just saving someone? And that's why I think saving Amuro is a good idea, because it's almost like, classic order gameplay is his idea, because Amuro is the new type that it's almost like the white base and the Federation is like, we need him. Just go fight the gun and we need to get him. And it's almost like a saving / kidnapping, but not really. But if they were to focus on a story, there is something there with that.
That could be really interesting.
Yeah, but that's where I think then the TV series comes in, because you need that long drawn out, you know, all those goofy anime characters.
Or you need Peter Jackson to do it, because Peter Jackson clearly knows how to do a trilogy.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, Peter Jackson does. And who else? I mean, you could say George Lucas, you know, but.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he would be a great choice. If I had to pick something to like bring George Lucas out of retirement, I think that I would trust him with a Gundam trilogy.
Dude, that it would be, even if it had that like indie CGI jank, you know, that he's, you know, with, you know, the green screen, like, you know, it would be a lot better.
Campy dialogue. Like, I know that obviously, his characterization is sometimes awkward, but that's the thing, is like, so is Tomino's. And we talked about that before where,
You know, it's interesting because with Gundam or with George Lucas coming back, you would have to almost position it with this question of like, what are you trying to revolutionize? What about this story has an element that could be revolutionized with the special effects? And in my opinion, I think it's utilizing robotics in a way, like where you're kind of half building maybe the cockpit at least, or the frame or whatever, so that there's at least something like that going on that's actually really being filmed. That, and to have a reference of for the CGI. But, you know, we were talking about trilogies, Sam Raimi, Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness, one of the most underrated trilogies. What's that?
Spider-Man.
There's that too.
There you go. Boom.
That's actually the obvious one, and I went for Evil Dead.
It just goes to show, like, you and I are so, as much as we agree on, there's these fundamental differences where, like, you know, you go for something that is more of like the cult classic, and I go for the cape crap. Like,
that's true. Yeah, because that's where we've had the differences in our interest, which is it makes these conversations very interesting. So
exactly, because we come to it from the same frame of reference, I'd say.
Okay, yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Okay, so Lucas Gear saying Sam Mendes, you know. And that just made me think how, you know, he was a Bond director. It makes me think how Hathaway, that first movie, was very Bond-like.
Yeah.
And I think there's something there. That is interesting. And I think I had another movie related thought too. Was it George Lucas? Was it? Oh, you know, speaking of George Lucas, Star Wars, real quick. And I don't know if anyone in the chat has seen Skeleton Crew. I haven't watched it.
Well, at least I started it. Actually, oddly enough, was watching it with my daughter, which, you know, she's kind of too young to really understand a lot of what's going on with it. But like, it's fun. You know, it's not. It's inoffensive. It touches on a lot of the stuff that like you and I talk about with regard to Gundam. You know, it really reminds me of the opening scene from Gundam Unicorn, like after the flashback where they're talking about, you know, the history of the 1 year war, and you have like all the students in class. They're like, I could teach the history of Char's Rebellion in like 6 minutes. Like, don't even like, why do we even need to learn this? Like, we're all going to be mechanics on Magellanica. Like, it doesn't matter, you know, and all this stuff. But it's the same sort of vibe. And to be honest with you, there's almost like a dystopian aspect of it, because for as nice as everything is in Skeleton Crew, like, you know, the kids are being assigned their careers at school.
Oh.
And so there's like that authoritarian-ish type deal where it's like, you know, yeah, if you have droids that are teachers, droids that clean your houses, droids that fly the ships, droids do this, like, what is there left for people to do? And so all these kids are sitting in school and, you know, they get doled out these careers that it's like, well, I mean, I don't want to do that. Well, too bad. It's for the Republic, you know.
Yeah, that's interesting. I might check that out sometime.
Yeah, I think you should.
Very interesting about the droid thing. I've had an idea in my head where it's like this guy comes home from work and he's tired, but his robot, because everyone has robots, has stopped working. And so he has to work on it, and then he has to go get a part at the store, you know. But like the robot cashier was messed up, so they had like, you know. Anyway,
like you're describing a sci-fi version of Falling Down.
Oh, my God. Well, he goes to work, and you realize this guy's job is designing some of the mechanical interfaces for some of the robots. So, like, that's what he does. And then his wife has a job somewhere that's with the robotics factory. And then the higher up you go, everywhere you go, you realize everything is the humans repairing, rebuilding the robot. Who? Yeah, so it's like the robots are really in charge. They're using the humans to keep them repaired, and and I was like, yeah, that's an interesting idea. Is that like a short story, or is that like a movie where you have like this guy that's unraveling this conspiracy where he realizes who's really in charge? And then at the top, what would it be? Like some fused organic human and robotic? I don't know.
Something. I mean, it could be just something like straight out of iRobot, where it's like, you know, the AI has become so sophisticated that it knows that humans can't be trusted to take
right, care of yeah. themselves. So it's well, like, see, yeah, I was like, what's another idea to come up with? Because that's the same thing with like time travel.
Yeah.
In movies, where it's like, where do you really go with that? And, you know, listening or watching a lot of videos about like the orbs and, you know, the physics behind all that, it's very interesting to consider time travel more of a, it's like a constant. Mm-hmm. So like you are entering a space that you're then not in any other space because you have entered that space. And it almost comes up in this Godzilla movie, the King Kong, because, or the Godzilla versus King Ghidorah, because when they killed Godzilla in the past, the people in the present were like, yeah, Godzilla's gone. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like it's not that events changed,
but it's the context around them changed.
That moment that things are different. And they're like, but now there's another monster that just appeared. So it's like, well, even.
Have you ever watched Doctor Who?
Yeah, I've watched Doctor Who.
Okay. Because I was going to say, I mean, that's the same sort of idea. Like, oh, you know, time's not linear. It's all kind of intertwined. I think I was actually talking to Ultronimus the other day when I was saying, like, you need to watch, like, the Shadows in the Library episode.
Which Doctor is this?
This was the 10th Doctor. This was David Tennant.
Okay, I watched... I might have watched that then, because I think I watched up until, you know, there's the other guy that was just in a black jacket, the Scottish guy.
Oh, yeah. Chris.
Was that before?
Houston? Yeah.
So maybe I didn't watch all of the David Tennant. Maybe I did. But so there's an episode that has a really interesting time concept.
Yeah. Yeah. There's look up the, I think it's something in the library, but library okay. episode. That's the one that has like the most fascinating time travel. Cause usually, obviously, you know, the doctor's the one doing all the time traveling, but there's a clever little twist on this episode that makes it like, oh, there's like knock on effects. If you're gonna be the kind of guy that bounces back and forth through time, you're gonna create some ripples.
Yeah, see, that's interesting because I wonder how much that's not the case. That it's not that you create ripples, you just have something happens in that moment, but then that moment has happened and it always will have happened.
Yeah.
So right. It's not like you're changing anything. That thing was always gonna happen anyway.
Well, and especially like in the original book, The Time Machine, it's like the woman has to die in order for him to create the time machine. So there's no, if he creates the time machine to try and stop her from dying, then he can't create the time machine. So no matter what, the universe is always going to fix itself because if he's going back in time, there has to be a reason for it.
Yeah. I remember when I saw that movie,
Guy Pearce.
Yeah, Guy Pearce. Yeah. Thank you. And I was like, that is such a cool concept. Then I read the book.
And
the book was really good, too. It was different, but it was like really cool. And I was like, man, these are neat ideas.
That's
but
what they almost did right with the Flash movie.
Well, okay. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Flash movie, by showing all of the moments, it's almost like because you're seeing all the different, it's almost like you're seeing all the moments. They're all there. They've already happened.
Yeah.
You know, like I even think Flash almost touched on it, but I don't think visually, how can you represent? Does something just materialize in a split second? Almost think of it like coding. Like if you're making a video game and you finished all the levels, but you need to edit the first level, you're just going to go to that level and change it. You're not going to have to play the game backwards.
Yeah.
You know, you just go to the level, edit it, and now that thing is there. So when the person's playing it, they're like, that thing's there, but it wasn't there before, huh? But it's there now. You know, and so yeah, maybe time travel is just making a video game.
It's a good way of looking at it. At least a more interesting way of looking at it. Let's put it that way.
No, that's fun. I think that type of stuff is fun. Anyway. Yeah, I think that's it. That was a fun, good little Gundam Explained Live. Hope you all had fun talking about whatever we're talking about, really. The main takeaway here is I'm excited we're getting G-Quacks in the theater soon.
Yeah.
Like, that's my main thing.
End of February, G-Quacks.
Yeah, and I think we almost came up with the release schedule for the year so everyone can be prepared for their Gundam content.
There you go.
Anyway, thanks a lot for watching. Have a good, I highly recommend watching Primer. I've seen that, Lucas Gear. That's a good example of the time travel stuff. Okay, I could talk about this forever. So I'll have a good weekend. We'll talk later. See ya.